Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Boston Red Sox, who beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 4-1 to win the World Series Baseball Championship. The AP's Mark Myers reports from Los Angeles.
The Red Sox are the champions of baseball, beating the Dodgers 5-1 in the Game 5 clincher. Steve Pierce homered twice, and David Price threw 7 innings of one-run ball to help bring Boston its 9th World Series title and their 4th in the last 15 seasons. Led by rookie manager Alex Cora, the Red Sox won 11-3 in the postseason. With 3 homers and 8 RBIs in the series, Pierce was named the MVP.
You've grown up wishing that you could be a part of something like this, and with that special group of guys out there to celebrate with them, it was awesome.
Dodgers starter Clayton Kershaw was tagged for 3 home runs during his 7 innings while losing for the 2nd time in the series.
I'm proud to be part of a group that did get to go to the World Series 2 years in a row. Proud of that. Proud of what we were able to accomplish this year as a team. And anytime you lose the last game when you're in the playoffs, it's no fun.
Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Thanks, Mark. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. We heard from Clayton Kershaw in Mark's report. Kershaw and Boston's David Price have the biggest contracts of any pitchers in baseball history, nearly $500 million worth between them. Yes, you heard me right, VOA listeners. Nearly $500 million. Now, I don't know if the Red Sox got their money's worth out of David Price, but more than a few Boston fans say he was priceless after winning 2 games in the World Series. Talk to us about your Game 5 victory, David.
Felt good in the first. Freeze wants to hit the ball to right field. He's a really good October hitter. He has been for every team he's been on, at this stage, winning the World Series MVP. To get that double play, that was huge after that, and then to kind of settle in after that double play, that was big.
Meanwhile, another left-handed pitcher for Boston, Chris Sale, closed out Boston's World Series title by striking out the side in the 9th inning. Sale tips his Red Sox cap to David Price.
David stepped up tonight. This is the second game that he just flat out won for us. He put his heart and soul on the line for us. And, he deserves it.
And the Red Sox certainly deserve their 9th World Series title and 4th in the past 15 years. They won a club record 108 games during the regular season and then beat 3 quality teams in the postseason: the New York Yankees, the defending World Series champion Houston Astros, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, to put an exclamation point on a great championship year. In English Premier League football news, the tragic death of Leicester City's owner overshadowed some of the European action over the weekend. Prince Nesta joins us now with that sad story in his European club football roundup. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. We kickstart off our report on a sort of somber note, Sonny. Leicester City have confirmed the death of their beloved owner Vishay Sriadhanaprabha after his helicopter crashed outside the club's King Power Stadium on Saturday. More than an hour after the club's 1-1 draw against West Ham, the 60-year-old Thai billionaire's helicopter took off from the center of the stadium's pitch, cleared the stands, and crashed seconds later. The club announced that he was indeed on board and did not survive the collision, along with 2 members of his staff, the pilot and a passenger. Mrs. Sriadhanaprabha bought Leicester City in 2010 for $50 million, and under his ownership, the club won the Premier League in 2016. We also join the footballing world here on the Sunny Side of Sports in sending our heartfelt condolences to all those involved in the accident and to everybody at Leicester City. Senegalese playmaker Sadio Mane scored two delicious goals, while Egyptian danger man Mo Salah and substitute Shadon Shaqiri also found the net as league leaders Liverpool thrashed newly promoted Cardiff City 4-1 at Anfield. Cardiff pulled a goal back with their first shot on target 13 minutes from time, when Callum Patterson steered past Alisson to deny the Reds a 10th successive Premier League clean sheet at Anfield.
Prince, still with the Premier League, what about Arsenal and Manchester United? How did they fare over the weekend?
Both teams actually struggled in their matches, Sonny, and as a result, we had mixed results. Crystal Palace captain Luka Milivojevic scored twice from the penalty spot to earn his side a dramatic draw and end Arsenal's 11-game winning run. Arsenal scored its goals through a sublime free kick by Granit Xhaka and a controversial tap-in by Gabon hitman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, with the draw ensuring that the Gunners missed the chance to climb above Manchester City into third place. Manchester United bounced back from a disappointing week to beat Everton 2-1 at Old Trafford. French playmaker of Guinean descent Paul Pogba made a staggering run-up which took 26 steps to take a penalty that was eventually saved by Everton shortstopper Jordan Pickford, but the 25-year-old midfielder stuck in the rebound to score. Antoine Martial doubled United's lead with a curling effort after 48 minutes, his fourth goal in his last three Premier League games, to ensure the Red Devils climbed up two places to eighth after victory over the Toffees.
Prince, I know the Blues of Chelsea have more than a few fans in Africa and around the world. Chelsea remains unbeaten on the season after a big 4-0 road victory over Burnley that puts the Blues 2 points behind first-place Liverpool. Prince, an interesting fixture at Wembley Stadium in London later Monday evening. Tottenham will take on defending Premier League champion Manchester City. How do you size up this match, Prince?
I think this one's going to be a tough game, Sonny. So hard to predict who's going to be victorious. But the reigning champions will be hoping to go 10 top-flight matches unbeaten. Tottenham should also watch out for talismanic striker Sergio Aguero, who will be hoping to score his 150th goal in the competition. Sonny, I also have one fun fact about Tottenham, and this one will actually make Tottenham fans happy. Tottenham are unbeaten in 9 Premier League fixtures played on Monday since losing to Norwich in April 2012. And this will mean that they'll definitely be hoping that their Monday good luck charm carries them through this particular match. And in Spain, Luis Suarez scored a hat-trick as Barcelona ran riot, outclassing Real Madrid to seal a 5-1 stylish El Clasico victory that could spell the end of Julen's time as Madrid coach. Felipe Coutinho scored the first, and Arturo Vidal finished a late flurry. But in between, the game belonged to Suarez, who terrorized Madrid and made light of Lionel Messi's absence. The defeat was reminiscent of the 4-0 thrashing that spelled the end for Rafael Benitez in 2016. Barcelona currently tops La Liga with 21 points, while believe it or not, Real Madrid, who have lost 3 consecutive La Liga games for the first time since May 2009, sits 9th on the table. Let's now cross over to Italy, where Rocket Ronaldo scored twice as Serie A leaders Juventus came from behind to beat struggling Empoli and maintain their unbeaten start to the season. Empoli, who have not won since the opening day, went ahead when Francesco Caputo fired home from 16 yards, but CR7 converted a penalty and a sensational 25-yard effort into the top corner to win the game. Juve are now 7 points clear the top, after 9 wins and 1 draw in 10 games.
Prince, if we turn our football gaze to France, I understand that players of African descent were on fire over the weekend.
Yes, of course, Sonny. Seems like they are working so hard to be included in our Monday reports right here on the show. Well, super sub Kylian Mbappe, who's of Cameroonian descent, scored within 4 minutes of coming on for league leaders Paris Saint-Germain as they claimed a 2-0 win over fierce rivals Marseille. The teenager became the first player in Europe's top five leagues to reach 10 goals this season, which enabled him to seal all 3 points in Le Classic and cement the champion's place at the top of Ligue 1 table. Second place Lille cruised past Caen with a 1-0 victory, with the sole goal scored by Portuguese forward of Angolan descent, Rafael Leao. Thierry Henry is still searching for his first victory as Monaco coach after the Ligue 1 strugglers drew 2-2 with Dijon. Montpellier still remain unbeaten and now occupy third place after strolling to a 3-0 win at Toulouse with goals from Gaetan Laborde, Andy Delors, and Central African Republic defensive midfielder Junior Sambia. I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Last week, VOA's Gwen Uten reported how the president of World Football's governing body, FIFA, was set to hold a vote in Kigali, Rwanda, on new international tournaments. And Gwen joins us now with an update. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last week, FIFA President Gianni Infantino was set to put to a vote a controversial plan that would reshape soccer's international calendar. Infantino had hoped to secure a council agreement on the concept of revamping the Club World Cup and establishing a brand new Nations League. The new format would entail a mini World Cup called the Final Eight, to be held every 2 years and feature 8 international teams. However, the proposal was strongly opposed by European football's governing body, UEFA, whose 9 representatives threatened to boycott the council meeting if Infantino forced a vote. So instead of a vote, it was announced that FIFA has set up a task force to examine the proposals. Infantino made the announcement at a news conference on Friday in Kigali.
On a topic which heated some of the media in some parts of the world, at least, we have taken a decision to establish a task force to bolster the consultation process regarding the prospect of a revamped FIFA Club World Cup and the Worldwide Nations League. So in order to do this, to revamp, to overhaul the Club World Cup, to discuss and make concrete proposals for a Worldwide Nations League, we set up this task force, which will operate under the direction of the Bureau of the FIFA Council.
The task force avoids what could have been a split between FIFA and UEFA. The World Leagues Forum also strongly opposed the plan. Its members expressed concerns that the new format would create an imbalance in domestic club football and would further increase the gap between the wealthy clubs and the rest. Infantino said the task force will give the organizations an opportunity to work out their differences.
We've taken the decision to set up a task force to work on the details of these competitions, which are of high interest in many parts of the world, where some agree, others disagree, where there are different points of view, different opinions, and it's perfectly normal. And we had not presented any concrete proposal for decision today.
Infantino revealed his proposal earlier this year and said he already received the backing of investors willing to spend over $25 billion over a 12-year cycle. However, UEFA has stated there hasn't been enough consultation among stakeholders and were displeased that the proposal's financial backers have not been identified. Infantino says with the new task force in place, he welcomes any and all suggestions on how to move forward.
We are open to every idea and every proposal, and as I was saying to the council members, I say it also to you, if anyone has any good proposal, please feel free to make it to us. And what I have felt from discussions around the world is that there is a need for good national team competitions, for quality national team competitions. I think we need to do that always. I want to stress that.
Infantino said members of the council have agreed to, quote, bolster the consultation process before the next FIFA council meeting due to take place next March in Miami, Florida. And that's all from me. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to African athletics, Kenya's Abraham Kiptum has set a new men's half marathon world record in Valencia, Spain. Joining us with more details is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. 1 year after his compatriot, Jocelyn Chepkosgei, broke the women's world record at the Valencia Half Marathon, Kenya's Abraham Kiptum broke the men's world record at the IWAF Gold Labor Road Race, clocking 58 minutes, 18 seconds to take 5 seconds off the mark set by Eritrea's Zassini Tadese in 2010. Ethiopia Jilete Buka clocked 1:06:11 to win the women's race ahead of UAE's Alia Mohamed Said, who came in 1:06:13, and Kenya's Edith Chilimo, who clocked 1:06:18 to come third. Staying with athletics news, Ethiopian Kilikili Jizhagen won the 37th edition of the Minova Frankfurt Marathon in cool and at times extremely windy conditions in 2:06:37 after a thrilling duel. He broke away from Martin Kosgei of Kenya, who finished in 2:06:41. Fellow Kenyan Alex Kibet finished third on his marathon debut in 2:07:09. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson Omale mentioned how Kenya's Martin Kosgei finished second in the Minova Frankfurt Marathon. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Martin after the race and asked him to reflect on his performance.
I feel comfortable. In the, before the start of the race, I had determination that today I'll never let down my training, which I had time. I knew I was in shape than last year and than in 2016. So today I know there is one strong athlete from Ethiopia, Kelkile. So I was watching in the race. When he was running, I was watching. When he go backwards, I also stayed backwards. When he moved, I moved. So I followed very quickly.
And you and Kelkile, the winner, you've raced against each other before, haven't you? Because you met in, I think, Rotterdam Marathon this year. And again, he had the better of you this time. But did you feel that here in Frankfurt, you might have a chance of beating him?
Yes, I had the chance to beat him because I have run here. It was the third time for me to being here. But Kelkile was the second time. And the last year, he beat me because maybe he was in shape. And I was in shape. I was not much shape last year.
You ran a PB by quite some margin, getting under 2:07. Did you feel you were in that kind of shape to take, well, about a minute off your best?
Yes, yes. That is what I was dreaming of. And I have achieved. I knew. But the first half was a bit fast, 2:62:26. So I knew I'm inside the personal best if I go beyond 30. So when I was in 35, I knew I will be in podium, and also BB is coming.
Before we started the interview, we were just talking about lifestyle, and I was talking about Western lifestyle, and we think a lot of our children don't play enough. They've got mobile phones, they've got computers. Well, so have older people here in the West, of course. But I wondered, and I asked you, because I can see now you and the other Kenyans and Ethiopians, so many have mobile phones, and you've got computers and laptops. Yeah. I wonder whether, is that going to change the way we have so many very good Kenyan and indeed Ethiopian runners because children won't be playing outside. Do you think life in Kenya will change because of technology?
Of course, it must be because education, in primary education level, they have started to give children computers to learn. Especially in lower classes, standard 1, 2, 3. But like us now, we didn't catch because it is a new era. Kenya has become a hub.
You're from Kapsabet, so that's very much in the country, perhaps you might say more traditional lifestyle compared to Nairobi. And of course, someone like you and your fellow runners, I presume you came up, grew up having to run or walk to school, or you're using your legs, your body a lot to get around. But can you ever imagine a time when those children from the country areas in Kenya aren't using their legs, their bodies so much that they might become more like many children in the West or young people?
Time when we are going to school, we used to run. Yeah, because maybe around 2 kilometers early in the morning and back, and then in the evening also we used a lot of exercise.
Do you think that will ever change? You know, that there'll still be the habit of having to get to school and back on foot?
Yes, of course. Some children there in Kenya again, there's boarding schools, and there are schools, those schools which are, they don't board. So the schools which they don't board, most children they food. But those children in boarding school, they don't food. They stay in school for 3 months. But those in day schools like us, we went to day school. For example, I went to day school. Yeah. So we used to food and come.
Well, that's really interesting. It may be a small change, but maybe it's a hint at the future. It might give hope to other runners around the world that it won't always be the Kenyans and Ethiopians at the front, but at present they certainly are. And Martin, you've had a very good day today in Frankfurt. Congratulations, yet another second place. Yeah. Hope you might come back and see if you can get the top of the podium. Thank you, Martin Koskaj. Thank you
very much.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Kenyan athlete Martin Koskaj, who was second in Sunday's Minova Frankfurt Marathon. And Martin spoke with Andy in Frankfurt, Germany. In auto racing, British star Lewis Hamilton won his fifth career Formula One championship with a fourth-place finish Sunday at the Mexican Grand Prix in Mexico City. Afterwards, Hamilton praised the engineers and everyone on Team Mercedes.
I think it's really going to take some time to really digest everything that's happened today. I'm just really, really proud. Like I was just now with my engineers. So we did the debrief. Then we did a toast all together and we all had a drink together. But it was just so great to see everyone, you know, everyone just so united. Everyone's worked so hard this year and everyone's raised their game. And I just want to be the best me I can be for them, you know. I truly believe I'm a chink in the chain because there's so many of us. And without me, it doesn't happen. But without every single individual, it doesn't happen. The chain doesn't roll, it doesn't move.
That's five-time Formula One driving champion Lewis Hamilton speaking in Mexico. Dutch driver Max Verstappen of Red Bull Racing earned his fifth career victory in Mexico City and defended his 2017 race win. The German Sebastian Vettel in a Ferrari finished second, and Finnish racing driver Kimi Räikkönen, also in a Ferrari, was third, with Lewis Hamilton fourth. Rev those engines, Lewis Hamilton! And that wraps up the October 29th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, friends. This is Sunday Shomari, host of Let's Talk. Join me Monday for another exciting edition of your show. Our topic next week will be sibling rivalry. This will be Monday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at who really won in the Cameroon presidential election. Guest host Vincent McCoury discusses Cameroon's newly elected president, Paul Biya, and the election that was marred by violence and low voter turnout. Cameroon politics on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we will have an exclusive interview with Dr. Helena Ndube, Namibian ophthalmologist notable for her charitable work among sufferers of eye-related illnesses in Namibia. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Washington State University-led study proposes that a single domestication event some 3,600 years ago in what is now Central America led to the production of chocolate that many of us enjoy today. After analyzing the genome of cacao trees, the researchers say they were able to determine when the trees were first domesticated by ancient Americans to produce superior cacao beans, which in turn provides the basis for making excellent chocolate. According to the study, some of the qualities that those domesticating the cacao trees focused on included flavor, resistance to disease, and that it produced a stimulant called theobromide. Researchers noted that developing and enhancing those qualities also resulted in lower crop yields. While they may have been domesticated in Central America, the scientists say the cacao trees originated near what is today's border of southern Colombia and northern Ecuador. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa. She said she too young,
don't want no man. Starting Monday, November 5th, tune into Border Crossings to win a free copy of Now 68, featuring top songs from a variety of artists. This CD features Calvin Harris's One Kiss, along with Ariana Grande's God is a Woman, and many other hit songs. Tune into Border Crossings to win.
We are always glad to have our listeners throughout Africa tuning in to our newscasts, covering Africa and the world news. Tune in on top of each hour, 24/7. VOA is your trusted source of news and information.